Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Daniel, Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter in the book of Daniel. And this Perek deals with the second dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It is 34 psukim long, and it is framed differently than all the chapters we've seen up till now. Up till now, it has been a third-party description, so the narrator is describing what had happened from the perspective of a narrator who's looking in on the occurrences. Here we now see something different, and that is this is written in the form of a letter. Nebuchadnezzar is writing about himself, and it makes a lot of sense. It seems that this letter was sent out with the letters that he describes the end of Perek Gimel, which he describes the greatness of Hashem in his life. This is probably included in and enclosed in those letters. In this letter, because it's written in a letter format, there's a lot of meter, and the lines are phrased in such a way, in a poetic way, that they are balanced half line, half line, half line in many of the lines. And this is obviously more evident when reading the actual original Aramaic itself. Let's look at the Perek itself. We'll look at it in a few sections, with each section followed by a few points to ponder. The first section is the six psukim that begin the Perek, and in this we're told that he describes Anon Nebuchadnezzar Shelei Haves Bevesi Ranon Beheicholi. I am Nebuchadnezzar. He's writing his letter. I was serene and calm in my palace, in my house. I had nothing to worry about. And he describes how he had a dream which frightened him terribly. He pulls together his advisors, his interpreters, and he describes the dream. This time he remembers the dream and is able to describe it to them, but no one has the solution. He then describes how he presents the dream in front of Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, and named after his deity, Elokai, and he asks him for help, acknowledging Daniel's divine assistance. Couple points to ponder, and number one is, why is this Perek written in the form of a letter? It seems that it is something that he wanted to publicize more. This is something that during the lifetime of Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted the nations under his jurisdiction to recognize, which is why he wrote it, and it's in the form of a letter. When did this occur? So we know that we don't know a hard date. A date is not given to this letter, but it is in the later part of his life, because it seems that he's no longer involved in wars. So he's no longer having the stress and the pressure of wars. He's now at a point of serenity, of calmness, which is what he describes, which contributes to the fact that this was not a stress-related dream or prophecy that is about to occur to him. We go a little further. From the second section is Psukim Zayin to Tezovin, and this is the image he sees in the dream. It's a terrifying image. He sees a large, large tree. It's large, it's strong, reaches up to the heavens and stretches over the entire earth. Its branches are beautiful, its fruit are plentiful, and sustains everything. Its shade provides shelter for the beasts of the field, and in its boughs the birds rest. It sustains all the fauna. But then an angel descends from heaven. The way it's described is Irva Kaddish, that Rambam explains refers to an angel and its overseeing angel come down and call out, cut down the tree, scatter its fruit, and chase away the animals. That's what happens. And all that is left is the stump and the roots that remain in the field, and the tree lies there in the grass of the field alongside the animals of the field. And the tree will lose its human heart and be given the heart of an animal itself. Seven cycles will pass it by in this state, and then this is a divine decree which is controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu over all humankind, and he begs Daniel to interpret this dream. So this is what Nebuchadnezzar has seen. He's very scared by this dream. He's asking Daniel to interpret it. Now Daniel explains the interpretation. This is from Psukim Tes Zayin to Chav Dalet. In this section, Daniel explains that at the beginning he's actually confused. Daniel does not know how to respond. Nebuchadnezzar says, don't be confused, Daniel. And Daniel says, maybe this dream is about the enemies of the king. Strange dialogue. We'll try to unpack that in a moment. Daniel then explains the dream is about the huge tree is referring to the king, referring to King Nebuchadnezzar, whose power is extended upwards to the heavens and taken control of all the horizons of the earth. And the cutting down of the tree is to symbolize a divine decree that he'll be chased out of the land to the animals of the field, and he will remain in this type of exile for seven cycles or 7 years until he recognizes and understands that Hashem controls the world and will give it to whom he sees fit. And the root that remains of this tree which has been chopped down is to show that the kingdom will not be destroyed and he will return to it once he recognizes Hashem is in control. Then Daniel seems to offer advice now, and then he says, if you want to escape from your sins, the best thing to do is to give to the poor, give charity to the poor, and extend your serenity by caring for those around you. Wow, so just a few points to ponder on this, which is, it is quite a remarkable dream. Number one is, why did Daniel get confused at the beginning? So it was Hashem not giving him the answer? Did he not ask for it? Did he need space? Did he need time? What was going on over here? So Yosef ibn Yechiel in his Pirush explains that he was scared. He got scared when he saw this dream. Why? The Malbim goes to take it a step further is because this is obviously a negative dream. If the king Nebuchadnezzar is being prophesied about being cut down, we know from his past experience that he's a very volatile and very angry person. When he hears this interpretation, he could kill the messenger. So Daniel is very scared, which is why the king assures them, don't worry, Daniel, don't be confused, which means he was giving them an assurance that even though it is true that this may be a negative dream, he knew it was a negative dream, so don't worry. And that is why it is. And Daniel therefore starts the interpretation by saying, it is on your enemies. Perhaps what he's saying is, maybe it should be on your enemies. I hope that this terrible, terrible dream may occur to your enemies before it occurs to you. There is a request. Who are these enemies? The Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Hei on Beis, tells us that there's that all the times it says Ma'amelech in the book of Daniel refers to the king Nebuchadnezzar, except for one or perhaps two. The one refers to Antu Malko Melech Malchai, that in Perek Beis, that refers to Hashem. The second one the Gemara suggests is in this Perek over here, where it says Mare Chalmo Lesanoch. This refers to, when he says that the dream refers to your enemies, it must be that he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to Nebuchadnezzar, because the enemies of Nebuchadnezzar are the nation of Israel, are the Jews. So he wouldn't say that. But the Gemara says that it does not have to be, that's not forced to be interpreted as such, because it could in fact be referring to enemies of Nebuchadnezzar who are not the Jews. We have to ask ourselves, is this literal? Is this interpretation of what Daniel is saying, is this meant to be literal? So the Metzora says, yes, it refers to Golus. We're referring to exile. That means to say that it's been prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar himself will personally go into exile, or his kingdom will remain. The Malbim says that this does not refer to a physical leaving of his premises and going into exile. It refers to a psychiatric condition. It refers to the fact that he would enter into chola b'choli hashachrus b'tachlus ayush, some form of deep psychiatric depression that is going to overtake him. And this all-powerful being, this all-powerful human, the Nebuchadnezzar, Nabucodonosor, the king of the known world, is going to fall prey to a psychological condition under the jurisdiction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it for 7 years? Rashi explains, because for 7 years was the amount of time it took to build the Beis HaMikdash that he destroyed in wanton carelessness. The interesting thing about this part is that Daniel offers advice, which seems strange because he was not asked to offer advice, he was asked simply to interpret the dream. So why is he doing this? It seems similar to Yosef, who is the paragon of what Daniel is, also did to Pharaoh. And it's interesting to understand why Yosef had the license to offer advice there as well in Parashas Miketz. But nonetheless, for our purposes right now, the Chidas points out that tzedakah actually is a zechus for all human beings to do. And it is, therefore, it is not simply about Jews or non-Jews. This is something which could help save him. So he's trying to help save Nebuchadnezzar. Ibn Yechiel explains that the problem that was with Nebuchadnezzar was his arrogance. So how do you resolve arrogance? Is reach out to those who are humble or who are lowly. That's the way to fix this problem. So it's a direct connection. The Malbim explains that these may be wonderful pieces of advice, but they were actually included in the interpretation of the dream. Because when it describes the great shade and life sustenance that this tree offers, the Chayas HaSadeh, the rest of the beasts of the field, this is exactly what it's supposed to do. What will sustain this tree is if the tree will sustain and not just crush those around. It's interesting that Babylonian foreign policy was not very favorable. It did not foster cultures. It destroyed cultures. And perhaps what Daniel is saying is that part of the interpretation is that if you want to extend the harmony, if you want to extend the archa, your period of shalva, you need to do this. Interestingly enough, we go into the next few psukim, Chofei to Lamed, in which this actually does occur. Now it's described that Nebuchadnezzar says everything in the dream, in the prophecy, came to him. 12 months later, he was walking in his palace and he was describing all the grandeur and honor that he had achieved. and a voice came out from heaven and said, "The kingdom has left you, Nebuchadnezzar," he was decreed to leave human habitation. He ate grass, he drank the dew of the heaven, his hair grew long, his nails were like the claws of the birds. Whether this refers to the fact that he was simply out, as the Mitzvah David points out, in living in exile, we're not able to return for whatever reason, or because of his enemies perhaps, or whether it means to say that he was in a condition where he could not look after himself. Either way, he has been separated from his natural culture, from his normal state of being. Why did it take 12 months? Rashi explains, because for the first 12 months he was careful. He started giving the aniyim of Israel and those beyond, and he was able to fend off this decree. However, at the end of the 12 months, that's when he receded and the decree occurred. In fact, that explains, says Rashi, who it is that he's talking to. He's in his palace and he's talking about his grandeur. Who is he talking to? Rashi explains it refers to the poor people who are standing at the gate who come back for their daily portion. At the end of 12 months, he says, "Look, I'm all right. I got this whole kingdom. I put together this palace. Why should you, good-for-nothing leeches, now demand anything of me?" Right? "I earned this. You didn't earn this. You go get a job." We've all heard these words before. And Nebuchadnezzar, as he utters those words, that's when, as he's talking to these impoverished people, as he throws them off his property, at that point in time is when the voice says, the power has left you, Nebuchadnezzar. The Malbim points out that he did try, but he didn't try long enough, and Daniel knew this. And in fact, that was part of the interpretation of the dream, that for a certain amount of time, the tree would offer its goods to the world around, to the beasts and to the fowls. But nonetheless, in the end of the day, the voice still came up because he was not able to sustain it. It was not his base character. And finally, from Lamed Aleph to Lamed Aleph, the end of the Perek, our last and fifth section, he now describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he at a certain point, Hashem opened up his eyes, he lifts his eyes to heaven, and his mind is returned to him, and he blessed heaven, he honors HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he describes that all the worlds are nothingness in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he wants to do anything in heavens and earth, he can, and no one can stop him doing what he does. At which point, he's returned to his palace, and his power grows even stronger than beforehand, and he continues to praise Hashem, who controls everything and lowers those who are arrogant. So he obviously has learned the lesson necessary from this perek. One interesting question is did this occur historically? Can we pinpoint when this occurred? So it is interesting that Da'at Mikra explains that there is no historical account of this occurring to Nebuchadnezzar. However, there is a eerily common description, a similar description to a later king in Babylon called Nabonidus. He was actually the last or second last king of Babylon before Cyrus the Great of Persia took over. And it describes that for 7 years he was sick with leprosy and had to go to a place in the Arabian Peninsula called Taima for 7 years. The Da'at Mikra suggests that although it is true that it is applied to Nabonidus, it is possible that this could actually be referred to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian historians, perhaps to shield him from this terrible embarrassment, perhaps attributed to a later king as well. It could be as well that Nebuchadnezzar could be the name in Tanakh of Babylonian kings as well, because it is interesting that the son of Nabonidus is Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon, who we're going to learn about in Perek Hay. With this, we conclude the fourth Perek of Daniel. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.